All right, so this seminar is on missional business. This is Michelle Dukamas and Clinger Laurent, and we are now on session five, which is the pitch competition, pitching your startup. And so in this session, some of your fellow participants are going to be sharing their business ideas. And I love this because this is where we get to see the real stuff and what people have in mind. This gives us ideas. Maybe you get ideas for someone else. Maybe you have some feedback for the people who are sharing. Maybe you have some connections. I love things like this because you know what? When you share about your ideas, that's how we start collaborating. And someone else might be like, hey, you know what? I know someone who could help you with this, or have you thought about that? And so this could be a really good opportunity. So how it's going to work, we have several who have already signed up to pitch and have sent in their pitches. And so we are going to start with those. If we have any extra time, we might let some of you come up here who didn't get to actually send a pitch to share briefly. But we will start with those who actually sent in. Now, do remember, if you do not get to share today, but you still have a business idea that you wanted to share and pitch, we are offering a free coaching session after the conference virtually and are happy to give you feedback and go through that with you. And so make sure, if you haven't already, how many of you have signed up for the Hive community? All right, well, the rest of you have not. So now would be a great time to pull out that smartphone and scan this QR code, because this is not just for people pitching. This is for everyone who wants to be contacted when we have resources and events, and we have a podcast, a lot of free things that can help you as you continue on your missional business journey. So a lot of you have asked, you know, how can I learn more about this? Do you have classes on this? And so if you sign up for the Hive community, we can be in touch with you. We have a lot for free, and then also some things you can purchase if you want, like coaching. And so there are different options there. But please sign up. And again, we'll be happy to do a free coaching session with any of you who have a business idea that you did not get to share today. But we should start with a word of prayer, shouldn't we? All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you that you have created us in your image with the power and the desire to create. And we want to use that creative ability for good, Lord. We want to use our ideas for business, for ministry, in order to start things that are going to bless our fellow man and are going to hasten your coming, Lord. We want to impact people for Christ. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would guide us and that you would be with those who are presenting this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so a little about how it's going to work this morning. Everyone presenting will have just 3 minutes. I know that is very short. We may give them a little, you know, few seconds extra leeway, but about 3 minutes there. And then we will have 2 minutes where our evaluators here will get to ask some questions. And so we have some illustrious business judges here. Now, you know Clinger and myself because we've been presenting here, but I would like to give a chance for our other two evaluators, John and Mark, to introduce themselves as well. Please. Okay. Is it on? Ah, there we go.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mark Guild. Nice to see you all. So up until about 6 months ago, I was a colleague of Michelle's, Professor Dukamas at Southern Adventist University and School of Business. So I taught there for about 7 years. And prior to that, I spent about 11 or 12 years running my own manufacturing company. And prior to that, about 12 years working in Fortune 500 companies in finance, mergers and acquisitions, and marketing. So I was an entrepreneur for about 11 or 12 of those years running a corporation of my own. And very passionate about business startups, especially business startups that are missionally minded. So very happy to be here. Looking forward to the presentations coming up.
Thank you, Mark. Awesome.
Good morning, GYC. Good morning. My name is John Baxter. I am the Human Resources and Recruitment Director for Adventist Frontier Missions. I've been in the office for about almost 20 years. Prior to that, I was 10 years in India as a missionary, Prior to that, I spent 10 years in New York City working for what is now known as JPMorgan Chase Manhattan Bank. When I left, I was managing $25 billion of international assets for the bank. So I got asked to do this to help out, and I'm just going to put this little plug in. I'm genuinely interested in someone or several of you. If you want to do some kind of an entrepreneurship event as a means for doing overseas missions. So I hope you win the $500, right? $500? Yeah. Actually, I was hoping I'd win it, but apparently I can't participate. But in all seriousness, I'm looking for people who have an idea, have a desire to serve as a missionary and are creative in using their entrepreneurial skills, because we have a lot of places in the world now. You can't go just say, hi, I'm a missionary. But you can go open a business, and if your business works, we're going to talk. All right? Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much. So, yes, and in addition to being able to get some feedback here, some of you might want to stay after and speak to these individuals about your business idea and about their feedback, because they are giving some feedback about your pitches as well. So could I have those of you who are pitching this morning please stand, the ones who have sent in your pitches, so I make sure I know you're here. All right, I have one there, I have one there, one there. Okay, I think I'm missing one more, but let's give them a preliminary hand just to encourage them. All right. Thank you so much. And if it's okay, I think we're going to start on this side of the room and go over. Are you? And I don't want to slaughter your name, so I'm going to let you. I read it, and I'm like, oh, I better not say her name. I'm going to mess this up royally. All right. All right. Well, let me get this on up here for you. All right.
Yeah.
Don't worry,
it's up there as well.
But you enter full screen. All righty, ma'am.
Grant. All right. Let me know when the time starts, and I'll get going. Good morning, everyone. My name is Tibiko, and I am the CEO of The Way. This is... Oh, it's not working. No? Sorry, it's dead. This is an international student company, and we offer full-service guidance and support for international students coming to study in the UK and Ireland. So imagine that you have made the grade and you've been able to make your way over to thinking about studying in the UK or Ireland. Sorry, you're going to have to do it for me. Thank you. In the UK or Ireland, there's 70 million people to meet and explore, beautiful vistas, and wonderful history and culture. But what do you know about it? Do you know the language, the culture, the school system? Where do you find this information out? Unfortunately, we have lovely historical universities who can teach you wonderful things about rich subjects. But because they're on the larger side and they're on the older side, they're not as innovative and creative in solving individual problems. Oh, next piece. So there are even cultural things in language. You think, well, it's English, but what's the boot? Or bangers, or baps. All of these things are ingrained in UK and Irish culture and are essential to you understanding the people, but are actually quite difficult to learn until you're on the ground. And this causes a lot of confusion and frustration for our international students who not only have to navigate a new culture, their first time away from home, but all these new ideas and language that they really have never come across. Next, please. So currently in the UK and Ireland, we accept about 500,000 international students, 80% of them coming from within the 1040 window. So that's about 400,000 international students that come to our door from hard-to-reach areas. And we just need to serve them and help them navigate the complexities of their new environment. Next, please. So as you can see, these are some of the most difficult areas in the world to evangelize. But we have these young, intelligent, enthusiastic people who come and are willing to learn and discover new things. And this is where we think the way can help them not only understand and navigate their studies, their career options, but also get an introduction firsthand to who Christ is. Next, please. So the business model is to cover some of the major issues that international students have. So this would be a website, an app, podcasts, and other social media features, looking at the educational systems, the housing, the medical, the cultural elements, and really educating, serving, and even having VIP services where we work one-on-one coaching our international students on how to make the best of their studies. So for what we'd use the $500 for is to get the website up and running and to start prototyping some of the content, and the three-month coaching would be used to help flesh out the business plan and make sure that we're able to have a viable, good idea. Thank you.
Yeah. So we'll take some feedback. Any questions?
Go first.
So you start with the UK. Yes. Is this something that you see scaling into different languages and countries?
The higher education system is really good at recruiting students. But they're very... Yes, the higher education system in most places is very good at recruiting students, but dealing with the individual challenges that students have, they're not good at that, and they're not built for that. They just don't have the manpower. So I think this is something that's easily scalable to other parts of the world.
So I know this actually exists in India for helping students go to the UK. Mm-hmm. So it's on the other end of it. How do you plan to monetize this?
So everything from having content and courses that are monetized to actually having VIP, like I've worked in the Middle East, and having VIP services where we pick people up at the airport, arrange their housing, arrange their even shopping packages, how to sort out their driving licenses. So monetizing that service. So having niche things or easy to reach things like content and working our way up to more premium products of actual service.
So is there a team in place or is this?
So there's a two-person team at the moment. It's myself. I have over 15 years experience in sales and marketing and have worked in the higher ed industry in the UK, in Ireland, in the Middle East, and in Africa as well. So I'm familiar with that. And then the second teammate is the CFO, who's my mother. She is a professor in accounting and has worked in the higher education industry for over four decades. And she also has worked with PwC and Deloitte. So she is someone I can trust with the money.
So this has a clear social impact. There's a need there that you've identified. Two questions. Do you have any data showing demand for this? And second, do you plan to do any spiritual connections to this?
Yes, there is data showing demand. What we're finding, especially post-Brexit and post-COVID, is that the UK landscape has changed massively. So even companies that can help students get to the UK, when students arrive, things have changed so much, it's really hard for them to figure out how to integrate. So that's something that I think we can definitely help with. And in terms of the spiritual element, what we would like to do is to use this as a way of actually using our churches, who have huge presence in university cities, as community hubs and centers where we can send students. And we say, okay, here's a service. And we also have bike clubs and sewing clubs and all these different things that the churches provide, where we can connect the international students to churches as a way of them getting additional support where they are.
All right. Thank you so much. That sounds very practical and needed. So, okay. So we've heard one. Ms. Joanne, are you ready? All right. Come on up. And I think for yours, you may just have to move them when you're ready to move them. Hers isn't. Yeah, it just won't work for this one because it's in a Google Doc. But yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. Good morning. My name is Joanne McDermott, and I'm just going to go right ahead and get started. Actually, the way I did my pitch, I was introducing myself later. But anyway, there is a gap within our healthcare system that causes patients to not experience complete healing from their health challenges in its truest sense. The tests are rendered, but they all seem to come out normal. The medication is prescribed, but they produce side effects, and even more medication is prescribed to offset those side effects. Advice is shared, handouts are provided, websites are recommended, but they involve implementations which seem overwhelming and impossible. Patients desire to be treated like a person with a diagnosis and not the diagnosis itself. Some doctors desire to do more. However, restrictions from the health insurance companies make them feel like their hands are tied. Rarely is there an opportunity to investigate the root cause for the disease. There is a gap within our Adventist health message. We teach the 8 laws of health, you see up there on the screen, nutrition, exercise, water, sunlight, temperance, air, rest, trust. While this is an excellent protocol, that is just what the problem is. It is a protocol and it is assumed to work perfectly for everybody. The truth is, everyone is different. They have different personal and family medical histories. They come from different socioeconomic backgrounds. They have different employments. They have different allergies and sensitivities. So what's the solution to this? My name is Joanne McDermott, and I am a functional nutrition counselor. As a nutrition counselor, I study each person's unique individuality, utilizing a holistic approach. When I say holistic, I mean physical, mental, and spiritual, to determine the root causes of suffering. Let me go to my next slide. Ellen G. White has a quote here that says, "The relationship that exists between the mind and body is very intimate. When one is affected, the other sympathizes." Then I use diet and lifestyle modifications to promote healing, adding herbs and supplements as needed. And then a plan of action is established, meeting the patient where they are. Small, gradual steps are implemented with lots of support. Some of the support includes regularly scheduled one-on-one counseling sessions, help with meal plans, grocery shopping, private cooking demonstrations, meal preps, exercise companion workshops, and more. So what makes my program unique? Our meal plans include a full course gourmet dish or dishes that can include specific dietary restrictions, such as no gluten, no soy, no dairy, no sugar, and more. It's gourmet. An easy-to-use app can be downloaded directly to the client's phone as a means of communication between the nutritionist and the client. And here is also where the patient can access their plan of action, the recipes, and more. Programs are available in person and virtually. And our staff include functional nutritionists with a background in Christian counseling to address the emotional healing as well as the physical. The mind and the body are closely related. One cannot heal adequately with the other existing in dysfunction. Okay. Whoa. All right, let me. Okay. All right. Okay, questions.
Okay, so I'm hearing this, and I'm trying to find where the business proposition is. I'm going to guess. Okay, you tell me if I'm right. Are you looking at doing some type of subscription service where you help provide guidance and meals and recipes and things, or what's your plan here?
Okay, well, that would have been the next slide, how I make the money. And it's basically one-on-one counseling sessions, workshops, like how to reverse diabetes, follow-up appointments, so ongoing follow-up appointments as well, meal preps, grocery shopping assistance, private cooking demonstration classes, things like that. How much?
So he asked the question, how much does it cost?
Okay, I'm just going to put it on the screen and you can see. I think that would be faster because I have all my costs listed. Okay, so you see some of the costs there. So the intake session is where each customer would begin, and that would be 270. Follow-up appointments would be about 150 each. For each session. And then they could do like a bulk rate of three sessions in one for one price, or they can do like the 3-month plan or the 6-month plan.
So just curious, have you priced this out as compared to like an in-treatment center like Weimar, UG Pines, anything like that? How does that compare to this?
I did do a market analysis, and I just looked at other functional nutritionists, you know, that have a private practice as well. And
this already exists.
Yes.
This does exist as a business model.
Yes.
Okay. And this is basically what they charge.
Yes. Actually, this is less than what they charge.
Okay.
So what do you need in order to get started? Are you started? Are you looking for startup funds? What would you need to go forward on this?
Well, I have already started. I've already had some clients. What I'm looking for is to be able to expand the business even more, you know, get my name out there further, get myself known more, and just being able to market some more.
And will this always just be kind of your personal business, or are you looking at adding others with you and actually, you know, scaling this?
I definitely would like to grow a team right now. It's just me, but I definitely am looking into, you know, scaling it and collaborating with other maybe doctors or nutritionists as well.
All right, so if anyone would like some nutrition counseling, we got some good services over there. So keep an eye out. We have a resource. So thank you so much, Joanne. Appreciate it. Eric, are you ready? All right. What was that, sir? What's your name? Okay, we're going to have Eric go, and then we'll come to you, okay? Because I don't have yours pulled up. Make sure you... I gave you an email. Okay. All right. And then we'll go to Dean, but I think. Now, let me see if this clicker is going to actually work this time. It theoretically should. You're like, I don't even need. Let's see. Thing is, it doesn't work with. I don't know why it's not working with Canva. This should.
I go like this. Is this on? All right, hold on, guys. Let me try to get this. On.
All right.
Yes. All right.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. My name is Eric Camarillo. I have some exciting news to share with you today. Our friend Richie is moving into an apartment in a few hours. The reason why that's so exciting is because we met Richie back in May. He started getting services with us. We run a mobile drop-in center for people experiencing homelessness. When we met him, he was experiencing homelessness for 2 years. He started going to our group Bible studies, started getting basic services like showers, laundry, mail services, started seeing our case managers in September, which helped him get a job, and now he's moving into his place in just a few hours. The need for people experiencing homelessness is growing. In Central Florida, we served 12,000 people experiencing homelessness in Central Florida this year. To our services, we had 2,778 new people to our services. We served actually a total of 4,500 different people with about 150,000 times in 2022. As homelessness begins to grow and housing costs increase, it's becoming harder and harder to get people into housing. But our case management team, we have a holistic approach in helping people that are experiencing homelessness. And from August of 2020 to March of 2022, we helped over 1,050 people move into housing. Our product is a mobile drop-in center, and a lot of our services can be provided through the use of vehicles and trailers. And so, I need more hands here. So you can see here on the right a shower trailer, which we provide showers from. It has 4 full bathrooms. We have a laundry trailer with 6 washers and dryers there. One of the unique things about this, it being mobile, most drop-in centers are buildings. And so a lot of cities are facing red tape. Stakeholders like businesses and residents do not want a drop-in center building in their backyard. And because it would attract unsheltered people to the area. Now, us being on wheels, City of Orlando is actually one of those cities, had been trying to get that for over 10 years, trying to get a drop-in center. We organically evolved into a mobile drop-in center, and because we're on wheels, we were able to get past all the red tape. Now the City of Orlando is awarding $6 million to build a drop-in center building in the City of Orlando, because they've seen the success of what we're offering. And over the past 3 years, the city and the county has given us over $2.5 million to continue to expand and experiment the project. They even hired us to compile a data report on the people that we serve in the City of Orlando. Our funding, we get about 20 to 30% from grants. More like 40% from grants. Private funding is the rest of that balance. And we are actually going to be hired to run the drop-in center in the City of Orlando. They're going to pay us $300,000 a year to do that. So we're hoping to duplicate this. Our vision is that every metropolitan area has a drop-in center for people experiencing homelessness. We believe we have a model that works. So thank you, everybody.
So I've actually seen your trucks, read about your stuff. Good job, man. Thank you. So in some respects, this is almost not relevant for this, at least in my thinking. Okay, we give you $500 that, you know, buys you a couple gift cards. But
yeah.
So as I'm listening to you, and I kind of have an idea of what you've been doing, the drop-in center, I want to know what the drop-in center that's being constructed that you're actually going to manage is what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do? Because I have another idea I want to just take off of that, but I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, so what's the drop-in center building going to be providing?
Yeah.
So it's going to provide all of our services inside, so showers, laundry, mail services, charging stations, clothing, hygiene products, case management, mental health counseling. We also provide spiritual care. We have two outreach pastors. So.
Okay, so the then the other follow-up to that is those, you said like 1,005 people that you've helped getting to housing.
1,050.
So that's general housing. Like any type of open housing. That's
some
available.
Of it's permanent supportive housing. Others is us working with landlords to try and get people into housing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so just planting a seed, you do with it whatever you want. Ever thought of building a tiny house community?
So we actually have started to do that. So we actually have 40-foot shipping containers that we're building out into tiny homes. So they're actually going to have full-size fridge. You know, it's going to have a bathroom with a toilet, stackable washer and dryer, a shower. So we have the prototype. And we're starting to get some built out. We already have an organization that will let us put it on their property. They actually provide permanent supportive housing for the unsheltered. We don't want to reinvent the wheel, so we're going to partner with them to provide the permanent supportive services, and then we'll continue the relationship.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
You mentioned you have two, but I want to know about the spiritual support for these people, because it's nice to feed and clothe people that they're going to die if you don't.
Great question. Yeah, so we actually have, we want to be more intentional. We do find that with services, a lot of times services like this, that kind of gets put on the back burner. So we actually intentionally hired an outreach pastor last year in March, and he started to provide one-on-one studies, group Bible studies, church service for them, and just spiritual counseling and interaction. We hired our second outreach pastor in January. He's actually right over there. Yeah, there he is. And so they really walk with the people we serve. We actually find that they're a key element helping to end homelessness too, because a lot of our friends that are chronically homeless do not see the light at the end of the tunnel. They don't believe they can get out of their situation. When they start to show God and bring in that hope, then their addictions, they suddenly want to give up their addictions, and they suddenly want to progress, and they see hope in living a normal life again, you know? So it's really a key piece. And we're actually going to be compiling a data report in 2023 that a local hospital was curious about on how their outputs and lead to housing outcomes. So we're going to see how that goes. And hopefully it'll glorify God to the community by showing the hard data on how that makes a difference. So, yeah.
I'm genuinely curious about your project. So
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you get the $500, but I'm assuming that the gentleman that's here is an Adventist pastor.
He is.
And Central Florida is like, you know, Advent Health dominant and mm-hmm. so on. So mm-hmm. no problem with the state in terms of Adventist programs, et cetera, right?
So actually the city is so supportive of what we do. I mean, the mayor shouts us out in the social media once in a while. He did a ribbon cutting for us. He actually made a proclamation that every April 15th be Salt Day in the city of Orlando. So there's a very good, we have a very good reputation in the community. Yeah.
So is the brand name because of Salt of the Earth? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Okay. And the acronym is Service and Love Together.
Okay, good. Because, yeah. I mean, you wouldn't necessarily want to take a salt shower or wash your clothes
yeah,
in salt water.
Yeah, right.
I just want to make sure I understood that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we're thinking about a cooking program for our unsheltered friends called Cooking with Salt, you know, but we'll see. We're still, you know, still in the works, but yeah.
All right, thank you. And we didn't ask. So what was the need that you're needing right now? What are you asking for?
Yeah, so right now we are we're looking to put solar on our charging stations. That's one of the needs that we have. But I mean, you know, we have a lot of needs. Staff? We have about 32 staff members right now. 20 are full-time. The rest are part-time. We have about 500 volunteers giving about 5,000 hours a year. There's a lot of small needs. And when I was thinking about the $500, I think adding a solar element to our charging stations would be pretty cool. But that's, yeah. That's that. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And now we are going to have C.D. Simmons. And do not have the pictures are going to be a little hard to get up, so he's just going to go for it for us.
Yeah, I apologize. I won't have any pictures, but I'll try to paint as much of a illusion for you as possible. So is there any canvassers in here? Anyone ever canvassed before? Several of you, right? All right, I'm a canvasser as well, and I believe that God... Oh, my name is Dean Simmons, or you could call me CD or Cedric, or I have a lot of names. But I usually go by Dean. Am I too loud? Okay, so I believe that the Lord gave me a vision to start a canvassing program for the nation in areas where they seem to be neglected. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and just give you guys a little bit of my background. I didn't want to be a canvasser. In fact, if any of you guys know Darrell Conway, he's been at me for years to try to get me to start canvassing, and I was just like, no, it's not for me, But finally, the Lord brought me to it, and I've been hooked ever since. And so, like I said, the Lord gave me this vision. And so I just want to go into... I see my man giving me a time right here, so I don't have much time left. All right, so my business idea, like I said before, is to begin a traveling or literature evangelism for hire canvassing business. It's going to be under like a name like Perfection Products or something like that, going along with other things that would be canvassed. So the problem being solved is reaching out to more neglected areas of the United States that does not have canvassing programs through the conferences and or unions. This includes both affluent and impoverished areas alike. As it says in Matthew 24:14, that and this gospel of the kingdom shall be reached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, we are sending people out. I love my man doing with the homeless. That's awesome. And the health ministries, they're going to different areas, at different countries. But you guys don't realize that there are a lot of people in America who have not received the gospel. A lot of people who don't even know who Jesus is. And I know this because I'd be out there and I talk to people. They have no idea. A lot of people don't even know that hell burns forever. Or they don't even know the concept of hell burning forever. So you can't even use that with them anymore. All right. So my time running out. Okay. All right. So, the solution, bringing the end time three angels message along with the right arm of the gospel health message in the form of literature to homes and businesses to meet people where they are who otherwise won't ever step foot in a church, let alone an SDA church, with books like The Great Controversy, Desire of Ages, Steps of Christ, Fighting Disease with Foods and Plants, various plant-based cookbooks, various kids cookbooks, which teaches more character building lessons. The uniqueness is that we are a traveling LE team, traveling to states, cities, and townships that so that they will have the opportunity to be reached with the everlasting gospel at their home. Oh, I reset that part. How we make money. This is not exhaustive, but you know, we are canvassers for hire. That's one way. There are lots of churches who would be reached out to who could benefit lots from a traveling canvassing program, but because conference doesn't offer them, they don't know or understand the blessings of having one. The other is to just go to cities, townships, which we would research that doesn't have much of an Adventist presence at all, and canvass them. And then why me? Because God chose me for this work.
So I know I canvassed for a number of years, so I understand the need for that work. It's a very important work. I know Clinger did also, and some others of us. So let me just understand the business model then. What's different about your programs is just that you're doing it in places where there is no program right now?
Yeah, there's a lot of areas in America, like I said, that are being neglected, even where I live in West Central Wisconsin, where you don't have much of a canvassing presence. And I go out there and I canvass there myself, and it's much needed. You know, a place where I was born, Kankakee, Illinois, there's nobody canvassing, you know. And so, like I said, and there's areas in there that are both affluent as well as impoverished that both can benefit from a canvassing program.
But who is your target? Who will be doing the canvassing? Are you looking for people that would do this full time?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
In the summer.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Or they're gonna
both.
Make a
wherever you can participate, or you know, you're gonna get paid because you make a portion of what you canvass or whatever the case. And look, my target market is what you're asking, or who am I targeting? I'm targeting everyone. Just like Matthew 24:14 says, I'm targeting everyone. Anyone who we see, we're canvassing. And to work with me. Oh, yeah, at Venice. We could train people to do it. And if you have any experience and you can offer a month, a week, or whatever, well, a month, at least a month or so like that, you know, this is something that I've actually been pitching to several people, especially LE leaders in different conferences and that sort of thing. But I believe God put it on my heart for a reason. I believe it's going to come to fruition eventually, hopefully sooner than later.
So you mentioned something about getting hired by a church. Have you ever tried that?
I have, but I haven't. I actually try to get hired by my own church, but like I said, some churches don't believe in the literature evangelism and whatever the case, and that's why I just started doing it by myself. And I got several Bible study contacts with people that I'm actually still studying with right now. And so, I mean, the fruit is going to reveal itself.
Okay. Are we done? All right. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Dwayne. And last but not least, I think we have Caleb. Is that correct? All right. So let's make sure I have the right one up here. One, two, three, four. I'm not sure. Here, go for it. You can do it. No. Okay, let's refresh this. Maybe it didn't load all the way. Okay. This one. I don't know if I can do that. I'm sorry. I don't know how. You got it. All right. And then do you want this to be in?
Oh, that's it. Well, yeah.
Let me just download it. Actually, it's going to be a lot easier. Hold on a second. Sorry, guys. There we go. Now we can move it. And then you wanted this one to go up.
Yeah.
Up how far?
We're almost there.
To the top?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
I'm actually not going to say.
Oh, okay. All right, here you go. You can switch to that one whenever you're ready. All right. And you're going to need this microphone.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. My name is Caleb Torres. I am an Arizona native. I have a question for you. How would you like it if every time you get your paycheck, you are docked up to 33% depending on what little mistakes you may have made during this last pay period, or minor mistakes maybe one of the people you supervise has made? How would you like that? Any takers? Well, your healthcare providers, and most of us are fortunate now to have healthcare. Your healthcare provider, if they are in private practice, that's what they are subject to every month. Typical in the industry is 10 to 15% of claims, medical claims submitted to insurance companies, whether they be a commercial or government, are lost through staff that are hired in-house who handle the billing because they may not have time to go back to them, because a lot of in these small practices there's a lot of multitasking, and so a lot of this stuff they don't come back to. The problem is that a lot of these small practices that are experiencing these revenue problems end up selling themselves to hospital corporations, And that has been identified by everything from the New England Journal of Medicine to other flagship journals to impact the quality of care and the choices that you as the patients in local communities have. Now, that's the problem. Now, our solution, we provide outsourced revenue cycle management services to independent medical practices. That's our target market, independent medical practices, small to medium group practices who are basically at times having trouble meeting payroll. What makes us unique is that we have contracted with a platform where we can provide up to 5 different service providers in our business suite for any given client. For example, for HIPAA compliance, for credentialing, for medical billing, for electronic medical records, we have different services that we can offer so that we can truly tailor our services to the provider depending on their patient mix, location, et cetera, et cetera. How we get paid? We typically, is 5 to 9% of revenue generated or that we bring in medical claims that we take a cut off that, a small cut. Why us? As Adventists with the health message, we believe we are uniquely positioned to introduce medical providers to the health message and all that that entails. And thank you. Thank you. Oh, boy. Questions? We have our illustrious judge panel here, but is the audience also able to ask questions or only the judges? I don't have a green thumb, so no.
Is it just yourself? Do you have a team?
We are a team. Okay, so we are a team of 3 people at the moment. My partner, David Salem, has 15 years as a medical practice manager and leader. Ben Gomez is an experienced salesman and has a proven track record in different industries. I myself am an RN, almost a nurse practitioner, and I am very much into functional medicine and the kinds of pathways that lead us toward introducing our health message. So yeah, that's our team right now.
Okay, so I was trying to catch it. How much of this are you doing already versus what you're planning to do?
We have been in incubation mode for the last 3 months. To date, we've spent considerable money to get to where we are right now. We are yet to land our first client, but it typically takes 4 months of outreach to medical clinics before you get your first client. So we're right there.
And are there other services doing what you're doing, or is this new, or how?
Our competitors are the typical for this target market. Is that a lot of medical, the people that do the medical billing for a lot of these practices that is outsourced, they are a one-person shop, and they usually have anywhere between 1 to 3, and some have as many as 9 practices that they serve. And, of course, once they get that large, they start to hire independent contractors. Now, I want to put in a plug here in answer to your question. As far as the spiritual implications, for me, I thought of this because it is a way to provide jobs for many Adventist folks who move out into more rural localities, and sometimes the fit between their skill set professionally, and the demand in the local, in their new environment, do not match. And I faced that 11 years ago. And so it can be very daunting for families that are wanting to take certain moves personally and then find out that, actually, I can't make this work. Let's go back to where we were. Sorry.
So I was just wondering, is there some type of software development that's been done to kind of optimize this for your organization?
Well, actually, the software is already out there. There are, for example, there's gigantic electronic medical record, electronic health record, HIPAA compliance suites. They're out there, but typically practices pay for them on their own, where we would come in and provide it for them as part of our suite of services, or we're versatile. We can work with what they have, and basically we can do a lot of different configurations depending on the practice. Great question. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you so much. And thank you to all of you who shared today. Can I have everyone who shared come up front? Don't leave. Because now we're at the end here. Now is the chance where you all get to vote. So many of you, if you came in early enough, you got some $1 million bills, and you may want to take that home, but it's only good here, so you might as well leave it here. And you are welcome to come forward and give your $1 million to whichever of these wonderful presenters you would like to give it to. Our evaluators will also be giving some funds. They have a little more than you do to give out, but they have some money. And so at this time, please feel free to come on and cast your votes. So welcome. All right. All right, they're coming. While you're coming up, I'm going to do a little quick any announcements and plug. One is, if you enjoyed this seminar and you want to actually get a full Hive Camp experience, our big full Hive event will be taking place March 2 to 5 in Collegedale, Tennessee. So if you come to Tennessee, March 2 to 5, it's Hive Creators 2023. And there will be workshops, there will be speakers. You can win $5,000, not just $500. And online it shows some of our speakers that will be coming. You may know some of these individuals: David Asherick, Sebastian Braxton, Annette Thurman, Chef Chu, Jared Thurman, Daryl Gungadu, David Grabner, our president Jesse Zwicker, Ruben Diaz. So put that on your calendar, guys. This is not the end. March 2 to 5, you can join us. Yes, our evaluators get to vote also. All right. Anyone else needing to bring up their money? All right. We're going to do this in a very super kind of unofficial way. Can I have each of you put your little stack right here? We're going to see the heights here. Make sure you know which one's yours. Put them separate, please. All right, we got one here. All right. Okay, next. Remember which one was yours. Come on up. We're going to put some stacks here. Number four. Oh, okay. And we've got some extra here. All right, so let me see. Okay, I think this is Eric's. We do, yeah, that takes long. All right, no, I'm pretty sure, yep. This is definitely the larger stack. So, yes, ma'am. So, congratulations to, now let me say right, to Tubica. I'm going to get this. Congratulations to Tubica. And I think this means that we really want you to do this. This means that you need to start it and work this. But all of these have some nice stacks of money here, which also means that there are people in this room who think that you should do what you're doing. And so we really appreciate you all and our evaluators. If you would like to stay after and get more feedback or suggestions, please feel free. If any others of you want to stay after, feel free. Again, if you want to stay connected or get other free resources from us, feel free to sign up for that. But let's say a prayer. Can we say a prayer for them?
Father God, you are our creator, and you give us the ability to create, and you give us creativity, and we've seen some of that here. We thank you for our friends. We ask you to bless their ideas, bring them to fruition to the extent that they know you know that they're going to advance your kingdom. Bless them personally, and for all of us in this room, Lord, please give us wisdom, tact, and compassion such that what we do is genuinely consecrated to you and to uplifting others, that we might be together in your kingdom. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
This message was recorded in partnership with AudioFirst at the GYC conference Break Forth in Phoenix, Arizona. GYC, a supporting ministry of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, seeks to challenge and inspire young people to take sacrificial initiative for Christ and to see Jesus finish the work in this generation. For other resources like this, visit us online at gycweb.org.